Good afternoon, everyone. Saturday afternoon, interview number 14 with the coaches. You are actually now I'm 30% done with the Shore now after we finish this. I have Shore Regional Coach Will Wishart. Will, thank you for joining me.
Hey, Nick, thanks for having me. And, you know, this is awesome what you're doing, these interviews. And, you know, I can't say enough. I know other coaches have said it, but what you're doing for these kids is, you know, a thankless job, obviously, you know, taking time out of your own schedule to do this. And it's growing the girls game. And I'm biased because I think the girls basketball in the Shore Conference is the best sport. And for you out there plugging it each and every day is great for these kids. And so thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate it. You know, I got to see your team, you know, quite a bit last year. You know, your staff is one of my, you know, most favorite staffs in the Shore, you know.
Thank you.
You know, I've told you that, you know, your staff and, you know, the Brick staff, you know, I'm very high on your two staffs. So, no, I appreciate and I'm glad that, you know, I got to know you and your staff better and, you know, some of your players better. You know, getting into it, last season, you know, above 500, you know, Shore Regional, you know, we know is soccer powerhouse and, you know, field hockey and, you know, you're building the basketball program. What was the message or, you know, the goals you set last season when you were getting ready to start the season?
Well, I took over the program 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was actually my first senior class that went through from freshman year to the end of their senior year. And, you know, we had five seniors last year, a sixth girl tore her ACL playing soccer, Nicole Generelli. But we had five girls, Caitlin Donegan, Lily Santee, Sydney Sears, Savannah Nody, and Chloe Woolman. And our goal was simple with those five or six girls. And we said, be the best senior class that's come through this school in 10 years. You know, before I took over, we would have maybe two senior girls or three senior girls or four senior girls. But for a group like that, that kind of began on their travel teams called the Knights, to see that go all the way through. And you know, our goal for them was to be the best senior class. Our goal for the entire team, you know, we have short-term, we have long-term goals. Obviously, short-term goals is win every game, right? That's always our thought process. We don't care if we're playing the number two team in the state of New Jersey or we're playing, you know, number 46 in the Shore Conference. Our goal is to always win the game. And then, you know, through our division, which, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about from last year, we said, let's go out there and pick off Goliath one time. And, you know, we came up a little short once or twice. But that was our goals, right? Make small goals, big goals. You know, we had game goals of how many threes we wanted to take. You know, we tried to average over 20 threes a game, to try to take over 20 threes a game, get to the foul line at least six times a quarter. And when we were hitting those goals, it was a difference for us. So we had both short-term and long-term goals throughout that year for our girls.
What I noticed, you know, going through your schedule last year, you definitely saw improvements, you know, with the scores, you know, against those better teams towards the end of the season. You know, one game, you know, I'm going to bring up, you know, the St. Rose game at your gym. I wasn't there, but I was getting text messages from, you know, Mike Farrell, which, you know, he was very impressed with, you know, Drejos and, you know, Madison, which we'll talk about them a little later. What do you think the big improvement was from early in the year to, you know, that point of the season where, you know, you were almost able to knock off, you know, one of those top Shore teams?
Well, it's funny. We walked out of the gym at St. Rose early on in the season, and our coaching staff, you know, when you play those type of teams, right, you set little goals for your girls. But when we played a team like that, we walked out and we were disappointed with our effort the first time, because we felt like we could hang with a team like that. You know, there were things that we were doing that we didn't do well, you know, whether it was defensively or on the offensive end or just making mental mistakes that our girls as seniors and Madison, who at the time was a three-year starter, now going to be a four-year, Riley as a freshman who has played, you know, AAU all over the country. And so when we walked out of that gym back, I think it was in December or early January of last year, we said, we can hang with these guys. I definitely think that when we play a team like, you know, Rumson twice and RBC twice and Manasquan twice, when you play those teams and you see that sort of pressure that you can't always replicate in practice,
yeah.
I just think that benefits us, you know. And we've always kind of been that team where we say, you know, all right, let's see how we did against when we used to play St. John Vianney or any of those tools. Let's see how we did the first time. And now we're going to go beat out there and beat what we did the first time. And we definitely obviously did that in that game. And, you know, I was actually rewatching that game the other day, and it's just flashbacks. There's some games that I can watch 60 times, and there's games that just hurt my, you know, my heart and my head just watching and going, oh, what did I do? Blaming myself, obviously, you know. But yeah, no, it's just, we just want to see a long-term improvement with our girls each and every game.
You started off the year, you had the tournament at your place, right? Short in the Christmas tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You made it to the finals, and you know, you beat, you know, Freehold, which is a good competitive team, and then you took Howell, you know, which Howell had a couple starters that have been, you know, playing for them, you know, good chemistry for a couple of years, and I know their girls play AU together, so you know they know how to play together, and you took them, you know, 2-point loss. What did it mean, you know, to start off the season, you know, beating a team like, you know, Freehold, and you know, almost winning, you know, the championship, you know, the title for that winter tournament?
Well, you know, Mike Stoya, who I know you had on the other day, you know, coaching staff, we like to rank coaches' voices. And Mike Stoya has the best coaching voice in the Shore Conference. That guy, he can yell, and these kids know exactly what he's saying. Where me, you hear my scratchy voice. The kids are like, what? But to beat a Freehold, I mean, you know, we're a small school, but we're playing some of these schools that are 3-4 times the size of us. And to get that confidence against a great team like that, Hannah's amazing. The two twins are awesome. I know they have the soccer girl. And
yeah,
you know these names when I'm not talking to you. But when I'm talking to you, I go blank. But it just gives us confidence. It gave us a chance to see, you know, what we do in practice is starting to transition into the games. And it just gives them that confidence, right? Sometimes when, you know, you're doing the same thing, not every day, but you're doing a lot of the same values every single day, and it's not translating into games, the kids get frustrated. And you know, obviously. But in games like that, when you start to see, oh, that thing that we're doing, you know, diving on the floor in practice, you know, we do this drill. We've been doing this drill every day this season, you know, trying to dive on the floor, close out a lot better. When we start to do that and translate into the game, the kids realize, okay, now there's a purpose. There's that. The why we're doing it is starting to be there. You know, the Howe game. You know, Joe does a great job with the girls down there, and I have yet to get one off of him. He, you know, the previous year we lost in the finals to them as well. But, you know, again, coming down to the wire in a game where we were up and back and forth, that's just the atmosphere that you want to play in as a kid, as a coach, and to have spectators there that aren't your parents that just wanted to come watch a game, which, you know, I don't think my kids were used to before the last few years. You know, it just gives them that confidence to go out there and compete with the St. Roses or the Manasquans or the RBCs.
You know, you talk about, you know, the spectators, and the game I had the most fun at a, you know, I think I went to 64 games last season, was Rumson Shore, you know, in the States. Your school showed up at Rumson. Mm-hmm. It was such a great atmosphere, you know, made me miss my days when, you know, I used to go to, you know, the St. Rose games as a student. What does it mean, you know, to the program, you know, having that fan support come out, you know, especially to an away game? I know, you know, kind of crosstown rivals there, but, and, you know, just for them to come out and show your support and root the team on.
Well, you know, we are, like I said before, we're a small school. I like to compare it. We're like a mom and pop shop, right? You know, where everybody knows everybody, you know, everyone. I joke with the kids in my classes. I say, you know, somehow everybody in Oceanport's related, whether they're cousins or whatever the case may be. But I think at first, and you saw in the game, if you go back and watch it, at first our girls were a little shell-shocked. They weren't ready for that type of atmosphere. But to have the kids there, I mean, that's a throwback. That's you know, 5-10 years ago, I was seeing that in gyms. And it's got a little way. Obviously, this year, we're not going to have as many fans. Hopefully that changes. You know, I would love for that to change if things get better out there.
Yeah.
But just to have those kids, and, you know, I think when Riley, who I know we'll talk about that later, hit a shot in the corner of the second half, and they're chanting, "She's a freshman."
Yeah.
You can see that confidence where it's a whole new Riley. You know, in the first half, she struggled a little bit, but in the second half, you didn't know whether she was a freshman, a senior, a junior, a sophomore. You know, same with Madison. And we actually had a girl, Caitlin, who was our captain last year. I think we were down 11 or 12 at halftime, and she banged a three from about a foot behind. And, you know, she had a couple threes throughout the year, but having the kids go nuts, and my girls, that was it. That's all they needed. And we were off and running in the second half.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, the game had so much excitement. You were down, you know, about 11 or 12 at halftime. You know, your team battled back, you know, and, you know, Riley was night and day that game from her first half and second half. You know, you could, you know, just even in her body language.
Mm-hmm.
What was the big adjustment that, or, you know, the speech you gave at halftime, or, you know, to her, or, you know, to the whole team?
Well, to Riley, you know, sometimes we pull her aside and we say, you know, Riley, sometimes a bad shot for you is a good shot for us, right? And, you know, you got to start, we'll always say, like, you know, we'll use Steph Curry as an example. We'll say, Steph Curry is the best shooter in the world, right? And he shoots 40%. So, Riley Dreos, we love you, but you're not Steph Curry yet. There's still time for you to grow. But, you know, so if you make 3 out of 10, okay, great. Yeah. But the only way you're going to make a shot is if you take a shot.
Yeah.
For us, you know, for the adjustment at halftime, we have a style play. You know, we had a defense last year, like a 1-2-1-1 half court press. We had a girl, Savannah Nody, who was incredible up there.
Yeah.
She didn't like to characterize herself as a basketball player or a soccer player. She was just an athlete. Mm-hmm. But between the lines for 32 minutes, there was not another girl I wanted on the court besides Savannah. She worked her tail off. My kids were dead. They were dead after that game. That was really the adjustment. We wanted to speed them up. You know, Dave, who I've coached against, Dave, going back 10 years, we were both on the boys' side coaching at sub-varsity, and he does a tremendous job with those kids.
Yeah.
And you know, I can't say enough about him. I think he's one of the best coaches in the short conference. But our goal was just simply, guys, we belong here.
Yeah.
You belong here, right? You guys have been playing against these kids since you were in fourth grade, playing Mid-Monmouth, AAU, rec bat, whatever the case may be. You belong with these kids. You know, there's some of these girls that are going to go out and play in college. We didn't have anybody graduate and go and play in college this year for us, but you belong with them. And once they start to get that feeling, and then Caitlin comes out and bombs a three from deep, and then, you know, Madison starts getting on a little bit, and Riley gets that confidence. It was just a different game, and that's the game that you just want to play in, win, lose, or draw. You just have that atmosphere, and it's a memory that I hope our kids will remember for a while.
You brought up Savannah, which, you know, I think I even asked you, you know, when the season ended, you know, I asked why you had her on top in your defense, and you had, you know, Riley, you know, on size, because, you know, Riley has the length. And when I rewatched the Rumsey game, you know, I saw why she was, you know, you had her, you know, where she was, and, you know, you could tell she's just a natural athlete.
Oh, God.
Like, she plays defense and stuff.
I had an official last year, midway through a game, true story, goes, where's this girl going to play in college next year? And I said, she's not. She's going to go to Virginia Tech and be an academic person out there at Virginia Tech. And he goes, I'll call you tomorrow. My daughter coaches out in somewhere. I forget where he said. And, you know, she was an athlete. You know what I mean? Like, and she drove me insane sometimes, but she was a great kid, you know. And you know, we'll miss her this year. We'll move on, obviously. But, yeah, she was, you know, for as much as teams had to, I think, scout personally for Riley and Madison, Savannah was the X factor throughout last season for us. And I think, you know, talking to a lot of the coaches that we played against, they would always bring her name up. Like, this girl, Nody, where did she come from? So, you know.
Yeah, I enjoyed, you know, I think the first game I saw your team play was against Ocean. And, you know, she stuck out a little bit. And, you know, I didn't know much about her at the time. Fast forward, you know, move to this season, you know, we talk regularly. What are some challenges you're seeing, you know, with COVID that you think you're going to see during the season? I know, sure, when, you know, they went through it with soccer, you know, or after the first game, they had that, you know, positive, you know, Rumson had the positive, but they played each other. And they had a switch. Are you guys keeping your varsity and JV separate first?
Not right now. We actually been hit with the quarantine bug a little bit. You know, we started the first day with about 12 girls, just because about 8 or 9 are quarantining. We just got back a couple more girls. We have a couple girls that are coming back next week to us. So right now, our message to the girls is just treat each practice, treat each game like it's your last. And I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but it really is. Yeah. You know, we have a couple girls that play lacrosse, and we mentioned to them saying, you know, a lot of your seniors last year that played lacrosse, they lost their senior season, yeah. You know, and they didn't get an opportunity to have that many practices or have a scrimmage or have a game. And, you know, we just tell them every day, we're going to go out there, we're going to roll the ball out, and for 2 hours, we're going to go to war, and this could be it. And if it's it, don't leave anything on the table, you know. In terms of the challenges, I think Stoya mentioned it in your interview, the conditioning, obviously, and then the time restraints. You know, usually we have about 17, 18 practices before our first game. This year, we're probably going to get to about 11 to 12. So, like, you know, the balance I have is, do I do more install or conditioning, or do we try to mix both in? Uh-huh. I think we've done a good job this year of getting up and down. We're scrimmaging a ton more, because I said that's the only way we're going to learn, is we're going to have to scrimmage more. We're going to put things in on the fly. We'll correct, and then, you know, we'll do two or three trips down the court, correct two or three trips down the court. So that's the big challenge, is just not having as much time as we normally have.
Yeah, and – You know, the coaches, you were restricted also during the summer. You know, they you know, narrowed, you know, the time you had with your team during the summer, which is a lot of the coaches were bringing up, you know, trying to help build, you know, the chemistry, you know, between players that were already there. So, you know, whatever new faces you have coming in. I want to, you know, we'll start going through, you know, your roster. We'll start with the seniors. Obviously, you know, it starts with Madison LaRosa. Great little player, could score any way she wants, pretty much. She could drive, you know, she's like, to me, she's like a little bulldog when she drives. She could get to the line, she's consistent at the foul line, and she knocks down the three, you know, pretty consistently. What are you expecting out of her, and what's the thing you kind of want her to pass down to the underclassmen, you know, since she's one of your senior leaders?
You know, Madison has come a long way. I remember walking into the gym when she was playing middle school, her eighth grade year. And she had like these Superman socks on with capes on. And I'm saying, oh my God, what is this girl going to get? What am I going to get into with this girl? But I'll tell you what, she is tough, man. She is just like you. I think you said it perfectly. She's a bulldog. You know, she never gets too high, never gets too low during the games. And, you know, she'll get frustrated here and there when the shot's not going in or whatever the case may be. But I just think her poise has come such a long way. From the time she was a freshman to now, or eighth grade to now, you know, for us, she's got to be a leader both on the court by example and vocally off the court. Now, we don't expect her to be off the court too much. But, you know, the expectation is to get our offense to go. And then defensively, you know, we ask a lot out of her. When we go play man, she's guarding the other team's best guard, right? You know, as a sophomore before Riley got here, we asked Madison at times to get us into an offense, score the ball, go play the other team's best player. Oh, and then go run our transition offense. But for her, you know, passing down to the younger kids is just that grit, that toughness, that, you know, even though the best player at the practice or the second best player at the practice, I'm going to dive on the floor for that loose ball. You know, it's not above me to do that, you know. I'm going to go set out a screen here and there to get my teammate a shot, because I know that's going to give us the best chance to win. And she's doing that right now, and I know she's going to continue to do that. And so we're hoping that the younger players that just watch that, and that's what builds a true program, is the younger kids take what the other kids are doing and continue it.
Yeah. Another junior who, you know, was significant to your team this year, Cassie. Looking at her stats, a lot of rebounds. She's, you know, 81 rebounds, which is pretty good. What do you expect her role to be, you know, this season?
She's the backbone of this team. You know, she really is. She's a kid that when times are a little too serious, she's the first one to make a joke. But she's an undersized post that we transitioned to a post. She played primarily guard her freshman and sophomore year. And we kind of told her, listen, you're going to be more of that stretch four, stretch five for us. That's what we envision you and getting on the court for us to do. And she'll go and, you know, bang with, you know, Allie Carmen if she has to. And then if we need her to, she'll go and try to guard in Abby Antonola a little bit. She's kind of done it all. She's a little bit like a Swiss Army knife for us. For us, if she could bang on the boards, play great defense, and be that vocal leader, that's all we can ask for. And let me tell you, I'm willing to bet she sets the best screens in the short conference. I'm willing to put that bet right now, and I would love any coach to challenge me on that. That girl just sets hard screens. And even today after practice, one of my seniors go, "Oh my God, Cassie, that screen." You know, like, that's just the type of kid she is. She just, she'll do it all, you know? So that's what we're hoping for with her.
You had two other juniors on your roster, Sam, right?
Sam Carew.
And Megan. What do you expect their roles to be, you know, this season?
Well, you know, those two, they were kind of put in a tough spot the last few years. You know, we had a large group of seniors, like I mentioned before, yeah, that graduated. And, you know, I play only about 7 or 8 kids, you know, that, and most schools do, right? That you get, you know, the only way you're going to get in rhythm is the more you play. They waited their turn. They've been, you know, good teammates. And their role is simply to come out and, you know, continue on what the kids did from last year. All right. You know, whether it's do the dirty work like we talked about with Cassie or hit that open shot, know that their time will come. And when they're open, let it fly, you know. That's what we're looking for them.
Yeah. Next player, you know, I want, you know, talk about Riley, you know, one of the best freshmen in the shore, you know. I like, you know, like you said, you know, sometimes she, you know, her body language was like, you know, not so confident. And then in the second half, you know, some games I was at, you know, completely different player and, you know, type player that could do it all. You know, she could probably play any position you ask her to. What kind of, you know, jump do you expect her to make from her freshman year? Because like you said, sometimes she did not look like a freshman. She looked like a seasoned veteran out there. And one example was the Rumson game. You know, Madison got a little fired up. I think she got tangled up with a player, and Riley ran over and pulled her aside, and, you know, calmed her down. And you don't really see that from freshmen, you know, doing that. Your senior leaders usually are the ones that, which to me, you know, spoke volumes about, you know, Riley's character and, you know, her mindset.
She's another, you know, the previous four kids you mentioned, they're awesome kids, and she falls right in line with them, both, you know, academically. She's one of the top girls in her class. But for us, you know, going forward, the sky's the limit. The sky's truly the limit for this girl. Her work ethic, you know, even when we have, you know, days off, she wants to get in the gym. She's a total gym rat. You know, this off season, I didn't have to worry about her doing things on her own, because I just know that she has that type of motivation. You know, it's funny. She's a girl. I was talking to her a couple of days before the season. I'm like, "Are you ready?" And she goes, "I don't know. I think I could have done more to get ready." And like, and I know what she does. You know, she was playing for Team Rio over the summer. You know, she was playing for us in the fall league. You know, that moment that you're talking about with the Rumson game, that's just the type of kid she is. You know, that's the type of kid she is. And, you know, she's just an all around great player and a great person. And that's a testament to the parents that she has. But for her this year, we just want to see her continue to step up and do what she did last year, but more. You know, it's funny, you mentioned that she could play any position. She never really played the point guard before she came to us. I tricked my wife into a date night, and we went to go watch her play at the Run for the Roses. She was playing some team, whatever the case may be, and she was playing more of the two off-ball guard. And we walked out of the gym, and I said, "If this girl comes ashore next year, she's gonna be my point guard, without a doubt." And you know, day one, she was injured at the beginning of last season. She sprained her ankle, I believe, at like an AAU tournament about a month or so before for the season. So it was a little slow getting her back into the things. But when she was fully healed, about a couple days before our opening game at RBC, you know, we had been running our offense one way, and I said, "All right, Riley, take the ball. Here it is." And she like gave me a look. And that was it. And with Riley, you know, few words, Riley. You know, we call her the Kawhi Leonard on our team. Very few words. But you tell her something, She'll give you a nod and she goes out and does it. Yeah. And she's just a coachable, you know, lovable kid. And I can't wait to see the maturation that she has from freshman year to sophomore year and then to junior year, senior year. Because like I said before, the sky is the absolute limit for this girl.
Yeah, and, you know, freshman, she put up some, you know, really good numbers, you know, over 300-plus points, 100-plus rebounds, you know, which is – and even, you know, probably the most impressive stat, you know, led your team in assist with, you know, she had 77 assists, which, you know, just shows you she could do it all and she could get her teammates involved too, you know, even though, you know, she most times probably going to be the best player on the court, but, you know, get everybody else involved.
Listen, I'll tell you this. If I was a kid, I would love to go play with Riley Drejos. If I had a choice to go play at a couple different schools and I saw Riley, who, listen, she's a willing passer. There are times where we have to force her to want to, like, look at her own shot. You know, she'll find you and she'll put it in the spot where you want it. And that's the type of kid I know as a former player. I know you played. That's the type of kid I want to play with.
Yeah. And, yeah, and I think, you know, like, her passing is, you know, underrated.
Mm-hmm.
So who else, you know, because you did play a lot of seniors last year, graduated. Who else that was on your roster last year you're expecting to have bigger roles this season?
You know, there's a girl, Kayla O'Scanlan. She was a sophomore guard last year. You know, we put her in a big spot when she was a freshman. We were playing up north somewhere, and somehow it was a Central Jersey group to second round game, and we had to go up there, and literally girl never played a minute of varsity time, but in the fourth quarter we were down by like 6 or 7. We threw her in and she rose to the challenge. So we're hoping that now as a junior, she's had 2 years in our program. We're expecting things from her. We have another girl, Julian Zelli, who has gotten some time in the past. She has, you know, she's a long wiry frame. You know, we're hoping that she comes around. We do have a freshman, Antoinette Russo, who, you know, had a pretty good fall for us. She kind of stepped up to the plate throughout the fall. She kind of got better and better each time we were out there in the fall league down at Wall. And then there's other seniors that, you know, that have kind of waited their turn, and we'll see if they get the opportunity. We have a scrimmage coming up on Wednesday. Angelina Russo, Jackie Miller, Jenna Simkowski. And then there's some other girls that, you know, for the first time are coming out playing for us. You know, others, you know, I recruit kids from other sports in our school. You know, a girl like Clara Ford and Rory McDonough, both are soccer girls that, you know, they're out for us right now. So they have, you know, Claire's been with us, you know, hopefully she continues to mature and maybe she'll be ready for us at some point this season. Rory hasn't touched a basketball since eighth grade, but already in 4 days of practice, the improvement. So while, you know, we have this nucleus, there are some girls that we think can give us a look at some point this year, but, you know, we'll find out shortly.
Yeah, you know, everybody, you know, you follow Shore Sports, everybody knows the McDonough family, you know, the soccer superstars, you know.
I finally got one. I was 0-4. Finally got one. You know?
Ford was, she made one of my all-shore teams as a defender, you know, mm-hmm. She's a very, very good player. I want to go through, we'll go through your schedule real quick before we wrap up. You're definitely in one of the more competitive divisions. You have RBC, you know, Red Bank Regional, Rumson. Talk your schedule and, you know, playing the tougher teams in the Shore. I mean, this season there's no real postseason, but a lot of people say, you know, tough regular season helps you for the postseason. So just talk a little bit about your schedule.
Well, you know, we open up with Monmouth. Another coach I think is underrated is Laura Forbes. You know, I know that the wins don't tally up sometimes, but that doesn't mean she's not an excellent coach, because if she is, she's fantastic. And then after that, we head over to RBC and listen, roll the ball out. You get to go play a girl that's going to Tennessee. You get to go play a girl that's going to Boston College. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's see what we can do against girls like that. And then after that, I think we go with Long Branch, who I think Shannon last year. I'm not sure how many girls they have coming back, because we didn't really cross paths too much with them last year. Uh-huh. But, you know, another coach of the year from last year. We play Ocean. Mike Laser does a great job there. I know he's got an incoming freshman that's pretty good. We have Brick Memorial at some point. I'm not really sure what Tom has coming back. And then, like you said, we wrap up with RBR, who, you know, there's a reason why they call him the Bill Parcells of short conference coaches. The guy, doesn't matter who he has, the guy gets 15 wins every year at least. And I know they have Teeter, who is just an excellent, excellent player. I believe she going to NYU.
Yes.
Yeah. NYU. So, you know, listen, our goal is simple. Go out there, win each game, right, and improve. And, you know, if we're not in that top eight, which I know that not many people are expecting us to be, let's go be in the next eight. You know, let's go, you know, if we're the 16 seed in the next eight, so what? Let's go. And if we got to go down and play Jackson Memorial, listen, guys, there's only so many games this year. Let's do it, you know, or whoever that nine seed would be. I don't know, yeah. Jackson I don't want Rachel to get mad at me. So listen, our goal is simple. Each and every game, just get better. And that's it. Get better. And then let the chips fall where it lies in eight team tournament. Because I already told my AD, if we win our little pod, we're putting a banner up. So I don't care. You know, field hockey and soccer get to do it.
And yeah. I think I was at a game where the soccer team was putting the banner at one of your games. I think you were playing Allentown and they were doing the banner at halftime for that. Yeah, you got to get a banner up there. For
I told him I'll buy it myself. I'll put the banner up. Did it over my dead body. I was like, all right, well, I'll do it anyway.
Talking about the pods and postseason, is that something you would like to see maybe in the future? Instead of where the main Stroh Conference tournament has 22 teams, make it a little smaller. And then, because a couple coaches brought that up, they kind of like that idea, you know, break it down, have a couple different, you know, tournaments based on record in your division. And
well, I think it's two ways. I do think, like, for example, last year, there were a lot of great teams that made the Stroh Conference, right? Yeah. But when you're in a division like we're in, you know, being 500, right? It just seems like it's an outdated system almost. Yeah. Like, that has to be the cutoff. Like, you saw in Central Jersey Group 2 last year, Raritan High School, I don't even remember the seed. What were they, the 3 seed, 4 seed? And they got to the semifinals, right? Sorry, the 14th or the 13th seed.
Yeah, they were.
And that's a team that wasn't even close to making the Stroh Conference, you know? Yeah. So I think that's one thing that we have to look at is just say, all right, the 500 rule, they don't do it for states anymore. Why are we still doing it in Stroh Conference? Because again, if you're in that division where you're playing the Manasquan, St. Rose, RBCs, yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's equitable that, you know, a division that doesn't have those teams might have an easier path to get in. I don't know. I'm going to flip it on you for a second. You go to all these games. You've been interviewing all these people. What do you think we should do?
I think it needs to be changed. Look, your division last year was brutal. You know, it just, you know, and not just for, you know, like, you know, even St. Rose going up against Madison, RBC twice, you know, Rumson.
Yeah.
That was the best division in the state, you know, by far. And then you could see it by, you know, just the state tournament. You know, unfortunately, that whole division was in the same group almost. Take out the two private schools. And you know, all the team, you know, like Raritan had a good run, you know, Rumson, Manasquan in the finals, you know, you took Rumson to the end of the game, you know. No. It's just it does need to be changed a little bit. I don't know how it is. I do have to say, Dawn, when I had Dawn on, she said that you were working on, you know, or I don't know exactly what you were working on, but she called you out saying, you know, you were working hard trying to get it where more competitive divisions, and, you know, where it'd be beneficial to all, you know, every team. So
that just speaks volumes. I mean, Dawn is one of those coaches, and I love Dawn. She's one of those coaches that she doesn't care who she's going to go play. She's going to go play, right? If it's the number one team in the country, she'll go. Her girls are going to play them. So for her to want a more balanced system speaks to the person that she is. Yeah. You know, she's a better person. She's a fantastic coach, but she's a 10 times better person. Yeah. So with that, yeah, there just has to be something better, right? And I know that the ADs this year, it was a difficult job. Their number one goal is just to get those kids out there and playing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think now that we've seen that there can be changes and this is a viable option, why not try something new? Because we know what we can fall back to. We know that this is a system that we can fall back to. Yeah. So let's go out and try something new. And if it doesn't work, then we'll try something new. If it doesn't work again, okay, we'll try something new, you know.
And I think that's another point Dawn brought up was a good year to try some things out because, you know, it's a small season, you know, no state playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was a good thing to see what will work and stuff. So, you know, we'll see going forward.
Yeah, I mean, listen, someone's always going to be upset with their seed.
Yes.
Someone's always going to be upset. So to try to figure out, like, you know, again, there's a big difference between being 8-9 or 7-10 or, you know, 15-16, right? But you're going to have problems. Okay, let's figure it out and let's see if we can find a better system than what we're doing. And I know we can because there's a lot of smart people in the short conference. There's a lot of coaches willing to see a change. And I think that now the ADs are willing to try something new. The problem is that we are tied to the boys. But, you know, I said, let's put 5 boys coaches, 5 girl coaches, 5 ADs, lock them in a room, and they're not coming out until we have a better system.
And one thing I think they should do, whatever they come up with the girls, it should be completely just the girls because everyone knows the talent.
Yeah.
You know, in girls basketball, you know, people, boys, I might get mad, but, you know, girls short conference basketball to me is better. And, you know, boys short conference basketball. Yeah, so the fact that, you know, talking to the coaches, it seems it was based off, you know, what they wanted to do with the boys divisions and stuff, which, you know, to me, it should be the opposite.
Yeah.
But no. Actually, you know, that's me, you know, I'm biased to the girl sports around here.
No, there's a system. There's a way to do it. And, you know, like I said before, there's plenty of people that are motivated on all sides to see a change. And I'm excited and I'm putting the pressure on at least my athletic director, who's great, to continue to be that voice of person, because he is, you know, we talk constantly and he says, I want to see a change too. So I'm going to hold him to his word because he knows I'll call him and text him or I'll be down in his office every day.
Real quick before I let you go, who was the other teams you were able to pick up? Because you were able to add 2 games?
Yeah, we picked up Ocean just because it is, you know, I don't think people think Ocean and Shore is a rivalry, but I like to call it the Battle of Whale Pond Road because that's the road that kind of separates us. Yeah. And then we have a pretty good relationship with Brick Memorial. We like playing them. They like playing us. We usually play each other at the end of every season. Okay. So, you know, Tom's a great guy, and I just – He's the, you know, I said before about Stoya being the best coaching voice. Yeah. I think Tom is probably the best dress coach in the short conference. So I always try to compete with him on that game.
That's funny. All right, I'm gonna let you go. I appreciate you taking time out after a practice. So, you know, it's just great that, you know, everyone's back out there on the court, and, you know, hopefully, you know, I am going to try to sneak into some games. We'll
see. We'll get you a yellow jacket that says security. Get you in.
Yeah. The only thing I feel bad is for the senior parents, you know, but, you know, I'm working on, you know, some things, hopefully, you know, help the schools out and help, you know, get more publicity to the girls and stuff.
Yeah. Everybody out there, if you're still watching me, subscribe to this channel. This guy's amazing. Let's get more subscribers. Yes.
I appreciate the more subscribers, the better it looks for me too. And, you know, I could start expanding this more.
Good man. So, good.
All right. Thanks, coach. I appreciate you joining me.
Thank you.